Okay, I'd like to bring the March 3rd, 2021 Newtown Borough Council special meeting to order. Please join me in a moment of silence, followed by the pledge.
We have a flag.
Thank you, Nicole. All right. Excellent. Well done.
Pledge allegiance.
The usual flag is not here. Good thing. All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you, Nicole.
Yeah, thank you for thinking of that, actually, because I knew Judy was handing over. We didn't need her, and I forgot about the flag, so that was terrific.
It's just on my little desk here, so don't give me too much credit.
So, great. So, usually we would now have public to be heard, but we have no members of the public.
Well, Warren's here, but he's not going to be heard.
Oh, okay, and he's not, he doesn't need to be let in the door.
Right.
So, okay. In that case, if we want, we have 3 minutes, but we've got Chris Fazio here and Frank Huber. And so if we want to let them in now, we can just begin. We have the extra 10 minutes for the pledge, et cetera, and then for any public to be heard.
May as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So is it 5 o'clock yet?
No, it's 4:57.
Well,
we can wait till five and be fair. Or yeah. Just be like, in case they're not ready yet.
Right. In case anybody else.
All right. So we'll hang out. I have 4:57. We'll just pay attention. When it turns five, we will open the door.
Okay.
All right. So, we're having a public meeting. I don't know. There's nothing on the agenda for the next minutes. Anything you want to talk about?
Well, just to let you know, when I talked to whoever asked me when we set these up, was that, you know, that they could give a very brief overview of their company. And then we would be asking questions. Mm-hmm. And so then I guess what we'll just do is go around like we have before, is just take turns asking questions.
All right. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
And they giving the overview will probably help answer some questions in advance.
Right.
Table.
While we're waiting, I can report that the 7-day forecast says nothing about snow.
Right. It's supposed to be in the 60s next week.
It's crazy.
So the mayor can lift the emergency order.
Mm-hmm.
That's been lifted a long time ago, but I don't have to get another one out. That's for the good thing.
I learned more about snow this year coming from Rochester. This is a different kind of snow you have down here.
We just have different weather all the way around.
You have that 30 to 35 degree black ice, which is treacherous.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go for it, Tara. Close enough.
4:59. Okay, yeah, close enough. Here we are. Okay, and we have... Rich can wait. Chris.
Yeah, don't let Rich in.
No. And Frank.
Right.
All right. We're letting them in. Welcome. All right, here comes Chris. Okay, great. I think they're both in. So, hi, welcome. Frank Huber, Chris Fazio. Oh, Chris is joining us.
You can unmute, both of you.
Yeah, and hi. So good to see you again, Chris. Frank Huber, is that how you pronounce your last name?
Huber, the J is silent.
Huber, yes. Okay, great, thank you. So I'd like to introduce you to the members of council. You've already met myself and Julia and Sue. And we have Charles Swartz, also known as Corky, our mayor, and the other members of council Marvin Cohen, Nicole Rodowitz, and Bob Schwekos, all here today. We also have Warren Waldorf, who is here as a member of the public. He's also Julia's husband. And there's no members of the public joining us for the interview. So it is just us. And so I guess Ashton couldn't come as well. Is that right? Or will he be coming later?
So with 20 minutes, I didn't want to bring too many people to the table. So we brought Frank, because Frank is the person who's our BCO. And,
oh, okay, great, yeah.
And we felt Frank would be doing the lion's share of the work. Ashton is an AICP, a licensed planner. And if you ever need that service, we want to make sure we include that resume in the event that that might be, you know, tangible in the future.
Got it, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, so what, I'm gonna hand it over to Julia. She's going to ask for a sort of presentation, and then we'll move on to questions from our members of council. So Julia?
Sure, Chris, so if you'd like to give like a quick overview of your company and the services that you offer and your experience providing services to boroughs like ours.
Be happy to. Thanks so much. I appreciate the time you're taking to speak with us tonight. Thank you. So again, my name is Chris Fazio with Remington and Vernick Engineers. I'm a principal in the company. I've been there for almost 26 years. With me tonight is Frank Huber, and he's quite frankly the important person in our group. He is our BCO, and he's the person with all the certifications, and we'll be talking about Frank in just a little bit. So our firm was founded in 1901, been in existence for over 120 years. The services we're going to talk about tonight are BCO services, zoning support services, certified plan examination, and building inspections. So we have a seven-person department, and that group, of which Frank is a part of, handles those services for a wide variety of clients. You know, locally, we provide those services to Newtown Township, located right next door. Falls Township, we provide all those services, and many more located throughout Montgomery and Delaware counties. So I want to talk about our approach and how we do things. We are able to do everything. And the thing that we do is we specialize in giving you one person that can really do everything, handle everything. What we don't want to do is to give you more than one person, two to three people, each with a different certification, where if you add them together, that gives you the one person who can do everything. In this case, Frank has all of his certifications. He has all the experience and he has the ability to do basically everything that you may need. We'd like to give you a menu of services. And what that means is some towns want us to do absolutely everything. We're the BCO of record, we're the code enforcement officer, we're the zoning officer. If that is what you desire, we can certainly do that. Some places only want us to do one facet because they have certain people in-house that they want to keep, and they want those people to basically serve a function. However you'd like us to fit in, I'm confident we can fit in because basically whatever service you need, we can provide. So something that's unique about our firm is the fact that not only having building code officials, we also have engineers and planners and other different resources. So why is that important? It's very common for Frank or any of our other BCOs to say, you know, I'm really not sure about this building and these plans. I question if this is going to work and if this is safe. It's very frequent that Frank will call our structural engineers or any of our other engineers, work as a team, and get a level of comfort that those signed and sealed plans are safe, are functional, and to look out for basically for public safety. We don't charge you for that engineering support. Frank bills on an hourly basis for every time he spends in the borough, but that engineering support that he receives, you don't get a bill for that. That's, you know, complimentary on the house, and it's just a service we provide as we provide these code services. That basically is an overview of the company. I think I was 5 minutes, so I don't want to take up more time than I'm allowed, but I'm happy to answer any questions or delve into it further if you'd like. You're muted, Julia.
Yeah, I know. My computer's telling me that too. You are muted. All right, and then now, so some of this information you did share with us before, but the rest of council has obviously not heard it. So if we are looking for a company to provide like all the services in the zoning and building inspection department, what How would you structure that? Would this be Frank? Would this be somebody else? Like, who would a homeowner who comes in and wants to put an addition on their house, how would they interact with your company?
So it would definitely be Frank. He's our BCO, so he would be our boots on the ground. What we would recommend you do is instill office hours.
Okay.
Frank could be there, you know, it's whatever you want, however much need you have, maybe 2 days a week for 4 hours. Maybe it's 2 times a week for 2 hours. It depends on how much work you have. And Frank can be a resource. People can come in, engage Frank, have conversations with him, and Frank can help them through the process. So something we understand very well is, you know, when your neighbor is putting in an addition to their house, they're probably only going to go for one building permit in their entire lives. So we realize that, and we want to make this a good experience for them. So something Frank is really good about is making things easy, helping them through the process. And there's a lot of people that someone comes in and asks them a question, they'll just throw the code books here. You go look on page 10, the answer's there, go find it. We don't do that. We open the code book, we review the code with them, and we help them through the process to be, you know, probably more business friendly and customer friendly. Because quite frankly, if someone gets upset and they have a bad experience with us, they're gonna call one of you. And that's really the last thing that we want. We wanna have a good relationship with our clients. And that starts with having a good relationship with the public.
And who would be doing the zoning review of the application?
That would also be Frank. If there were any questions regarding the zoning, you know, again, Frank has all these resources available to him, both engineering and planning, where he could ask questions and get any resources he needs. We're a 400 person company. So we definitely have all the resources to assist Frank. In Pennsylvania, I was remiss to tell you this. In Pennsylvania, we have a Lower Makefield location and a Conshohocken location. We have 40 people in both offices. So there's always someone available to provide assistance to anyone who needs help.
And if you were to maintain office hours, what would contact after hours be? Like, well, not after hours, not like after 9 to 5, but like on a day when that would not be an office hour day.
Then we would give a cell phone out.
Okay.
Where if someone needs an inspection, we could schedule that. And that's very frequent that happens. You know, and we're going to work with your system. You want to have something in place where you can track the permits. When someone comes in, they apply for a permit, you want to have it in some kind of a system where you know when they applied for the permit. You want to start that 30-day clock and make sure you get that permit completed within those 30 days. If not, it's approved automatically. So we would help you put a system together if you don't have one already. But we'd work with whatever you have there to make that happen.
Okay, I'm gonna let other people ask questions. And if there are questions that I still need questions to or answers to, I'll come back.
And by all means, feel free to ask Frank some questions too. I mean, he's our boots on the ground. So feel
free. Oh yeah, well, I have questions for him too, but I'm gonna let other people speak first.
Certainly.
This is Marvin, and certainly whoever would be most comfortable answering. One aspect of Newtown that is not uncommon, but certainly important to us is our historic heritage. So there are interactions with the historic review process, and I'll break it down into two parts. You've got, you know, things that come in and maybe a land development plan, which is more structured, but then you have things that, it's just the simple addition or simple work. What process do you have to make sure that things that need to go historic review get there as opposed to falling through cracks?
So, I mean, you should have an application process. If you don't, we would help you put one together where there's checks and balances and there's trigger points where if historic review is required, that application process would reveal that. And it's basically good record keeping and just managing the applications to make sure nothing falls through the cracks. Mm-hmm. In our other life, we also represent municipalities as engineers, not only, and also building code officials. We're very used to a land development process that has a HARB, and we've got a lot of different resources we can draw upon to help put a system together where, you know, something doesn't fall through the cracks and something does get to the HARB. And that's a good example where Ashton may fit in. If there's something of significant historical significance and you need a planning aspect, that's where we maybe bring Ashton in to provide some assistance if you need representation on that board.
We do. Our,
Quick question. Frank, I like your airplanes hanging behind you. I think it adds a nice little airplane mode. Being the BCO for Newtown Township and the fact that there are a lot of things that go on that impact what goes on in Newtown Borough with Newtown Township, would there be some type of coordination of some of the things that are being done in the township on our borders as well as adjacent properties that would have greater impact on the borough than that, and likewise sharing with the township some of the things that we are doing?
Well, with us both working in both locations, it would be very easy to coordinate.
Okay.
Going back to the question about the HARB situation, a lot of that comes in knowing the geography of around the town, knowing what sections fall under historical homes and what are, you know, recently built that don't really require the HARB review. And it's not too hard to have a map on the wall and look at your addresses and coordinate them.
And we do have an actual HARB historic district.
Saying, yeah. And much along the lines of what you were saying of being, you know, with the constituents and related to that is sometimes they don't know. So again, when they come to you, again, that added information that, yes, you might not think this is, this side of your house is important enough or visible, but, you know, really it is. And to just assure that there is clarity on what needs to be done. And then related to that, going one step further, is what process do you have? Again, something has been approved based on historical review, but then making sure that changes don't happen. We have had experiences where a window replacement went for historic review and it was approved as a replace in kind. And then you find out later, oh, they decided, oh, it'd be, you know, cost effective to do it some other way. So do you have any process to make sure that something like that doesn't happen?
That'd have to come under the inspection process where, we see what something's going on and put a stop to it. If a window isn't the right window or the siding isn't the right siding, that's the kind of thing we need to notice in the field.
Thank you.
So if I may, I have a question about that. What's your philosophy on exactly that? Do you do routine drive arounds, walk arounds town? Do you wait for neighbors to complain that something's being done that or question whether there's a permit? How do you typically do that?
If we've got a situation where you want me to spend some time during the time that we're in there, cruising around the town or walking around town to see what is going on, or just simply keeping track, riding by jobs that we have that are going on, we can do that. That's not beyond the realm of possibility. Company I worked for, we were in New Hope, and they regularly had me get out and just walk around town and see what was going on and make sure that people were doing what they wanted to do and just interacting with some of the neighbors. And put on 10 pounds up there, even walking around, stopping to get an ice cream and pretzels and stop and talk with the owner of the pizza place and have a piece of pizza while I was there.
Thank you.
I have a question. Hey, Frank, my name is Nicole. So over the last 4 years being on Borough Council, I always thought it was odd that we approve our invoices kind of after the fact. So the way it's worked is us as council members don't receive any kind of report as far as new or pending permits. So by the time we get the invoices and now we're as a group approving them, we actually have no idea, you know, besides the address. And I will sometimes look up the address and, you know, kind of get a feeling for like what the house is. So my question to you is, Do you think there's any way to organize this a little better where we could get, or do you have any ideas for us? But also, could you, do you think like an email update monthly, I don't know, that maybe runs 2 weeks before we have to approve those invoices would be something that you actually do for other municipalities? Because I just feel like that way we'd actually understand what we're actually approving.
We haven't historically done something like that, but it'd be very easy to implement to keep track of everything and give you a, you know, a spreadsheet or a, even simply a list or an email list of what's going on, what's coming in, and what we're in the middle of.
Well, it just, and it comes back to something that was mentioned earlier about, okay, has this permit even been approved and the timelines? Like we, I mean, I've never, you know, I don't see anything like that. So if my neighbor has a problem, I'm sorting it out after it's probably past the date where anything could even be done.
Right. Well, we've got, under the state regulations, we've got 15 business days from the time a permit comes in for residential work and 30 business days for commercial work to approve or deny that permit. And there's a lot of time in there to keep people well apprised of what's going on. And if it is a zoning issue, their neighbor should have been made aware of what they're planning and what they're hoping to do long before the fact, so that we don't, to try and alleviate the problems. The idea is to try not to have a problem, stop it before it starts. Is what I'm trying to say.
Right. And I was thinking the same thing for the HARB approval that that Marv was talking about before. I mean, if I could see a house that, because we all are elected in because we know the neighborhood. So if I can see on there that somebody's getting an approval for a fence and they haven't gone to HARB, then it could just be another set of eyes to be like, okay, well, clearly this wasn't part of a HARB application. It's not like we get enough HARB applications where it can click in your head. I don't know. So it'd just be nice to get some sort of list so we can kind of even be another set of eyes when it comes to our historic association.
I mean, we can certainly put a list together. That's not a problem. What you're asking for is information and data. A lot of the clients have a computer-based system where you input the data and it automatically tracks it and it spits out reports. And that's how other towns accomplish that. Something I think we would want to do is take a look at and see what you're doing now. See if anything can be used to help get you what the information you're looking for. Worst case scenario, we'll create an Excel spreadsheet and just update it for you. We can do that.
Okay, thank you.
Tara, did you have any questions, or Bob?
Okay, Bob.
I'm waiting for everyone else to have their turn, so.
I just wanted Frank to know that I have a silent J also. One of the concerns that I've had since I've been on council for now a year is I'm sort of an anal guy with calendars and check marks, and the experience I've seen in the past, but maybe it's my own perspective, is a lack of attention by our inspectors and other, I'll call you vendors. In my emphasis in anybody coming on board is their meticulous attention to detail and to make sure, one, that the homeowners know what is expected. So there's an education process. And then the second part of that is a follow-up, which is the borough's responsibility to make sure it's done correctly. So, what is your view and what has been your experience on those two parts of these jobs?
Well, it's always better if my homeowners, contractors, and anybody else involved knows what is needed and why it's needed. As an example, one problem I run into constantly is people love to watch Home and Garden TV and YouTube and so on and so forth. And I've got a serious issue with people assembling their framing with drywall screws or deck screws. most of the time, once they understand that the problem behind it and why it isn't allowed under the code, they just fully agree with it. And the problems are, A, the screws cut, the wood is going in, and B, the head of the screw, when you screw it in, when it gets tight, splits the wood, and now you've lost your wood. And once people understand that, I try to explain to them why, rather than just, I know plenty of inspectors that just walk up and say, it's wrong, here's your red sticker, and I'm leaving. We will try and explain to them what the issue is, why, what's making it wrong for their home, rather than just dump on them with, you failed.
Thank you.
Thanks. So Frank, I have two sort of related questions for you. One is, when would you call in a zoning official, which Ashton's being proposed for us? So when would you bring Ashton into the process of a zoning application? And then the other piece is, you know, as a BCO, you understand a ton about things like you mentioned the screws and the UCC and what people can or can't do. And, you know, we've talked about the HARB, but how do you then in your process integrate the individual zoning codes for a particular municipality? So for example, we adopted the UCC. We did make a few tweaks on it for applying to us specifically. And then we have our own SALDO, we have our own zoning ordinance, and it is specific to the borough. So what do you do so that when you get these applications, you, I mean, I'm assuming you look at the code, of course, but how do you do that? How do you make sure that an applicant, you know, do they need to go to the zoning hearing board, or is there something they can or can't do? Based on our particular code. So those are the two questions. Thanks.
The first thing is the zoning. The zoning always comes first. When we stop and look at something, as soon as an application comes in, I'm going to see what the zoning district is, whether or not what the applicant is proposing even can be done for their zoning district. And of course, checking their setbacks and their side and front yard setbacks, their elevation, that's all got to be done before I can even look at it to see if it comes under the code. First thing is to see if they can build what they want to build. And then after that, we start looking at it under the code to see if it's applicable. I don't know if that's a complete enough answer or what. And I honestly kind of lost the first part of the question.
Oh, okay, that's okay. Yeah, it was. I think that basically answers it. The in essence, it's a question that's a statement that's saying our zoning ordinance is important to us too. And so while we get the applications and look at the general construction code aspect of it, it's also important for our own individual zoning code. And you know, that's something that you in your many years of experience would have your system for how you make sure to review that, and how you obviously can't memorize it. But I think you answered it in essence there. The first question had to do with when you call in a zoning officer such as Ashton, somebody who is specifically focusing on zoning versus BCO. So when does he come into play?
I don't think he would, to be honest with you. Frank would handle the zoning and the code aspect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I trying to learn how, through the conversation we've had, I'm kind of learning how you're organized. And I really don't think you need him. He's there as a resource, but I really don't think you need him. I think Frank can handle all that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what kind of things as a planner does he do? Is that more like if somebody is actually planning things for their town, they would pull him in to, how do we create this park and make this thing go in, and we have a major project that we're doing, that type of thing?
Exactly right. We do comprehensive planning. If you wanted ordinances rewritten or new ordinances generated, he would do that. Mm-hmm. If you want to do a zoning code rewrite or an overview, he would handle something like that, the larger scale things.
Got it. Oh, okay. Thanks.
So you mentioned hourly rate. Now, most of us on council didn't get that as part of our package, but did you already share that with either Julia or Tara or somebody?
So I sent that in the form of an email.
There's a little side note.
Okay. And is there any aspect or proportion of permit fees that also is part of fees, or is it strictly the hourly rate? Or
no, it's strictly the hourly rate. There's some folks that we get a percentage of the building permit, and that is fine. I think in your situation, based on the fact that you're looking for some customer support, having interaction with the folks and doing code enforcement, I think it's more cost effective for you that we charge you an hourly rate, and then you tell us how much time you want us in the borough in any given week. I think that's definitely the most cost effective thing for you as a borough.
Mm-hmm. So if I can clarify and kind of wrap things up, person, let's just say the most simple thing is that someone's coming in to put an addition on their house, and it's, we'll also say it's in the historic district, so that it would come to Frank. Frank would review it for zoning. Frank would notice that it's in the historic district, send it on to the HARB for review. Now, Frank, do you also do the plans review for the building permit?
Yes.
Okay, so you're doing everything. Okay, so everything would be flowing through you. And then you would be signing off on the permit application. Once the building starts, it would be you who would go out and do all the inspections.
Correct.
Okay, so you're a man of many talents.
I wear a lot of hats.
You wear a lot of hats, okay.
I need hair, but I don't have any hair.
you might wanna get one with the sun. And then as far as being more paper-based versus electronically, digitally-based, would you say that at this point you're one or the other, or you are more flexible one way or the other? We've kind of been transitioning. We were transitioned towards more electronic, but I'm not sure whether that suits our needs. What is your preference?
I love technology, but you can't beat good old paper.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with either which way.
Okay, good.
You know, speaking of technology, Frank also uses a drone, and if he's allowed to, with based on whatever your ordinances are, Frank's a licensed drone operator. So if you need a quick roof inspection, Frank can do it pretty quickly.
Oh, okay, that's good to know. Okay. All right. Does anyone have any other questions? And if not, we've got
2 minutes left. Sue.
I have a quick one, because in the beginning, I thought you said, Chris, that for like a HARB liaison, it would be Ashton. Our HARB does have the building inspector as one of its members. So would that be Frank or would that be Ashton?
No, I think it would definitely be Frank.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks.
Frank, are you allowed to take vacations? Are you away part of the year, or what's your schedule? And how do we handle it when you're not available?
Quite honestly, I haven't been able to get any time off in a couple of years rather than that. We've just been so busy, it just hasn't been any chance to. But the company does have other BCOs that would fill in for me if I had to be out.
Yeah, I'd like Frank to take a vacation just so I know he can take a deep breath, but he won't. I'm hoping he does eventually. The most suitable person to cover for Frank is a gentleman named Rick Miles. Rick oversees our BCO department. He's a master code professional, meaning he has all the certs Frank has, and he would be just fine on a temporary basis covering for Frank if he goes on PTO.
Okay, great. All right, thank you. Thank you so much for coming to join us and meeting members of council. We will convene ourselves, not today, and see if there's any further questions, and we will be back to you.
Thank you. We appreciate your time. We look forward to that.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Nice to meet you, Frank.
Bye-bye. Nice meeting you all, too.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. They both left.
Okay. So, and I think that Rich and...
Yes, they're here. I just want to make sure the other two left. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Rich is in, Amanda's in, Amanda's joining. There we go. Very good. All right. Welcome, Rich and Amanda. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
You're both in. Very good. All right. So Rich O'Brien from Keystone Services, and Amanda Zimmerman, who works with them as a zoning officer. And you've met Julia, myself, and Sue before, but I'd like to introduce the rest of council. You may know some of them from the past or not. Is Charles Swartz, our mayor. He goes by Corky.
Welcome.
And Marv Cohen, and Nicole Rodowitz, and Bob Schwagos. So, yeah, nice to meet you. So I'm going to pass it over to Julia, the zoning liaison, to begin with a sort of description, then move into questions. So, Julia?
Okay, thank you. So what we're going to ask, Rich, if you would like to give a short presentation about Keystone and what your services that you can offer us, and you know, make it a brief overview, and then we'll just go around asking questions. We're particularly interested in how you would provide both zoning and building inspection services for the borough.
Okay, sure. I'll be happy to give you the short 3-minute version of who Keystone is and who we are and what we do. Keystone Municipal Services was started in January of 2002 with the mission to be the best and most complete third-party agency in the area. Now, the term municipal in our name is very important because we only provide services to municipalities and municipal entities for school districts and sewer authorities and things of that nature. We do not work for builders. We do not work for developers or private applicants. So there is never any problem with a conflict of interest in services that Keystone Municipal Services provides. We are a certified third-party agency licensed through the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Department of Labor and Industry to provide construction code official and building code official services to municipalities. And we have been since the inception of Act 45 or the Pennsylvania Uniform Construction Code. Right now, we currently have 43 employees providing services as building inspector and zoning officer. We provide fire marshal services in a number of municipalities also. We even do a couple of municipalities where we are the appointed emergency management coordinator. Now, some of those communities are small, like yourselves. We do many boroughs, but in addition, we do some larger communities also, like Warrenton Township and Warminster Township. Currently, Keystone Municipal Services provide services to over 50 municipalities in the 4-county region surrounding Philadelphia. The staff has experience in all kinds of construction, as well as zoning administration. Our zoning officers are well-versed in the municipality's planning code for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, as well as subdivision land development submission and review. That was technically, that was Amanda's forte when she was working with another municipality in Bucks County, serving as liaison to the board for subdivision land development issues. While building and zoning is certainly our largest portion of our business, we also do a lot of report services for municipalities and municipal entities. We've done sewer rate studies, we've done helped with comprehensive plans, we've written zoning ordinances and amendments to zoning ordinances. Right now, we're working on a number of fee schedules for municipalities, both in Montgomery as well as Bucks County. Most importantly, in closing, when you hire Keystone Municipal Services, you're not hiring an individual. You're hiring a team of certified, motivated professionals that serve as an advocate for your municipality. Again, we believe it's very important that we do not provide services to builders or developers. We solely exist to serve as an advocate for our municipal clients. So again, there's never any issue with a conflict of interest in the services that Keystone Municipal Services provides. We think that is truly what sets us apart from the engineering firms in the area that provide the service, as well as other third parties that also work for builders and developers. So that is the 2-minute version of who we are and what we do. Again, currently in the four counties surrounding Philadelphia, I believe the number we serve is 57 different municipalities currently. And in addition to yourselves, we're actually talking to 2 other municipalities also at the current time.
Okay. And so you are proposing that Amanda would be the zoning officer assigned to us, and Rich Wendling would be the building code inspector?
That is correct. Rich Wendling served as the building inspector previously in the borough, and he's well-versed in the issues that the borough has, working with both the applicants as well as the HARB. And again, Rich is fully certified for both residential and commercial construction for both plan review and inspection services.
Okay. Amanda, can you give us a little bit of information about yourself, your background, and your philosophy?
Sure. I've been working in municipal government for 10 years so far. Most recently, I served as the assistant township manager in another Bucks County community, where I oversaw the Department of License Inspections, including revamping that department to make it more resident friendly, and more the permits actually turned over in a timely fashion as well, and the residents were better served. I also oversaw all of the planning and land development. As Rich said, land development was my forte, and I did serve as the liaison with the Planning Commission, Comprehensive Planning Commission, Economic Development Committee, and the zoning hearing board as needed.
Okay, you had mentioned before, we talked before about that you had done overhaul part of that department there. What were some of the things that you did to improve the customer service?
We transitioned out all of our administration staff. Rich was able to bring in staff to serve as our administration staff. And by making that overhaul, that helped from the customer service front. We also switched our permitting software to one that was much more GIS based and staff friendly, so that the permits could be turned around quicker as well. And so the combination of both of them helped dramatically change the reputation of the L&I department.
Okay. So let's just talk briefly about what a typical application in our borough would be. And that would be, say, someone who has an older home in the historic district who wants to put an addition on their home. They're going to walk into Borough Hall to your office. Walk us through the process from beginning to end, from applying for a permit to having their inspections of their building.
So if they already know what they're applying for and they don't need help filling out the permits, I would simply take the permits, review the permits based on all applicable codes, and if they were missing any information or for some reason their application was not going to be able to be approved, I would communicate with them the outcome of the initial review and work with them to get any missing information or help them find a pathway in order to achieve what they want to achieve if possible, even that if that's a trip through zoning hearing board or any other mechanism at that point.
Once the zoning would be reviewed, it would go to the building inspector. Obviously, if indeed the property was in the historic district, it would go to the HARB board for a recommendation to the borough council. I'm not sure exactly what night your HARB meetings are, but the building permit application may be reviewed, but it certainly cannot be issued until the borough council issues a certificate of appropriateness for whatever that applicant wants to do, assuming that it is also viewable from the road.
Okay, so are all the Amanda, would you be the one who would be doing the zoning review of the application?
That's correct.
And then who would be doing the review of the building permit itself?
That would be Rich Wendland.
Okay. And then he would be doing inspections as the building occurs.
That's correct.
Okay.
And again, those inspections would be pursuant to whatever the recommendation was from Borough Council in regard to the HARB criteria, okay, in addition to anything associated with the UCC.
And do you anticipate establishing regular office hours in the borough?
We do. Similar to the way we worked previously, Amanda will be in the office. Again, I'm not exactly sure of how many permits you guys have at this point and what the workload is, but I'm suspecting it will be in the neighborhood of 20 hours a week that you would be available in-house in the office. If indeed your workload required additional hours, we could certainly accommodate that also.
And then as far as contacting your firm on outside of those regular business hours, those regular office hours, not talking about after 9 to 5, but say if your office hours would be a Tuesday, Thursday, and someone came in and wanted information on a Wednesday, how would they communicate with you?
Well, they could contact our office directly and we would get a message to Amanda or to Rich, depending on whether it was a zoning question or a building question. Mm-hmm. I would assume at that point they would get back to them before the end of the day. Again, however, the physical building inspections would occur on whatever days they were available. But that being said, if there is a concrete pour or there is an emergency, or there is somebody that truly want something on a day when we're not going to be there. We are in a number of communities that are directly adjacent and in the area to the borough. So I could run over Rich from Bristol, or I could run Frank down from Warminster, or Dave Tweed over from Ivyland. So we're in the area. So if there is an emergency or is somebody that wants an inspection on a day when we're not scheduled to be there, if it's a big concrete pour or something important like that, we could certainly accommodate that also.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll open it to others who have questions.
So for a not big project, just you're saying your simple permits, say a roof or something, you know, do you follow up on the requirement of any need for, you know, a closeout inspection, or is it the responsibility of the contractor or the homeowner to contact you? Again, what makes sure that doesn't fall through a crack?
Actually, what we have gotten to in working in other communities is this time of year in January and February, we actually go through the open permits and close out all the stuff from last year for people who didn't call for finals. And it turns out that it's the decks, the roofs, the fences, things of that nature that they haven't called for a final. And we close all those out while it's not busy in January and February.
Okay, so after a certain amount of time, you follow up on it.
Oh, absolutely. Everything that would be in the pending drawer would get closed out as time goes on. Again, we tend to use the January and February period because it's not busy and you may not need a full 20 hours to do plan review and building inspection. So there's extra time to basically go around town and close out all those open permits.
And as all, which we've already been discussing some, certainly the historic aspect of the town is important. There have been some cases of, COAs that were approved and then actually not necessarily built the way they were supposed to. What process do you have to make sure that things follow through the way they were supposed to?
Well, again, as in our previous meeting, we talked about issuing stop work orders and issuing violation notices for people that do stuff, whether it's without permits or in violation of their permit. And that's a fairly standard criteria that we follow for that. And again, in our previous meeting, Rich Wendling happened to have one of them, a stop work order in his car that he was issuing that day that he held up in another community. So it would be going, talking to the contractor first, seeing if they are ready to comply, if they haven't gotten to that stage or whatever the situation is. And if indeed they're not going to comply, issue a stop work order and then some level of violation.
And what if it was, again, kind of more along that level that I was just talking about, where it's not a big project, so maybe they didn't request, you know, again, it's one of those languishing inspections and it's already, you know, done. You know, and say you came back in January, would you then make, inspect it to the point of making sure, hey, did this really get done in the appropriate historic manner?
And, well, anything that would be in the HARP, we would probably follow up on a lot sooner than January, honestly, because we know the historic nature of the community, having worked here before, and we know that's an important aspect of the program. So if it were a historic property that had an outstanding COA, I'm sure we would follow up on it a lot sooner than the next January.
Thank you. I have one more, but I'll give others a chance first.
Julia?
Bob?
You said the zoning person would be here 20 hours a week. Is that a minimum requirement on your part, or is that a flexible number? I've only been on council for a year and I've had other responsibilities. So I'm not familiar with the number of hours it takes for either of these two persons to function. So when it comes to your billing rate, are there minimum number of hours that we have to have you here, or is it as needed?
There are no minimum requirements for hours. It's strictly based on your workload and number of permits that you have coming through the door.
Thank you.
I wanted actually, unless someone has another question right now, is to move over to a large development.
I had one more.
Sure.
So in your rate schedule there, you have aspects that are per hour, and then you have certain things, say electrical or such, that are pretty much set fees. So somehow those work together, and we would work together with you to make sure that our permit fees were appropriate to, you know, what your fees were related to that. And then the hourly rate is outside of that.
The hourly rate is the hours worked. Okay. As far as your fee schedule in your community, I'm not sure, again, having been out of the community for 4 or 5 years, I'm not sure what your fee schedule reflects as far as if you're collecting enough money to be able to cover everything or not. That's certainly something we could look at if we indeed were appointed in the community to make sure that you're not only covering your outsourced cost, which is the cost that you would pay Keystone, but also your in-house cost that you have in running an opt-in program. And those costs include, you know, a portion of the receptionist answering the phone, your computer in the office, and depreciating your hardware and software and things of that nature. So there are other costs that you as a community have related to an opt-in program that you may not be looking at currently that we could certainly help you with and help you understand.
Thank you.
Julia, your question might, I think I'm gonna let you say your question.
So we've been talking mostly about the typical permit application that comes in for someone who wants to put an addition on a home. We are in the middle right now of a larger development that was just approved that has got it's got like 10 new homes as a part of it, but there's also a large undeveloped parcel of property in the borough that has been in the process of being developed for quite a while, but we don't have the final plans yet. That would be a big development. It's, 5 acres or so. It's a T&D, so it's multi-use. What are the capabilities of your company to handle the requirements of a big project like that?
We handle many, many large projects. We're working with Northampton Township on all of their commercial projects at this point. If it was something that Rich wasn't comfortable looking at, we would certainly have another plan reviewer look at that. I don't believe there would be anything that would come into your community that we could not handle. Having worked in Montgomery Township and in Warrington and in Warminster and in other larger communities with a lot of commercial work, right now we're working with Vanguard over in East Whiteland Township in Chester County. I don't think there would be anything that you guys would see through the door, both at the subdivision land development stage or at the construction stage, that Keystone Municipal Services would not be able to handle.
Okay, thanks.
I have a question for Amanda, because you're coming from a zoning background and the municipal background, and then Rich will be in as the BCO and the inspection aspect. How would you work that out in terms of you being in the office, walking people through permits in the public, the coordinating of both the division and then the working together of that?
Ideally, Rich and I would probably try to be there on some of the same days. That way, as I'm finalizing the zoning aspect of a permit, I can immediately pass them off to Rich.
Mm-hmm.
I can help intake his building permits as well, so that mm-hmm. and he process and issue permits when he's done approving them. So ideally, we would all be having joint office hours. That way we can work together and make sure that the permits are turned over in a timely fashion.
Oh, okay. I understand that helps me. So you both be in at the same time then. Yeah.
Ideally.
So, and then a second question having also to do with process. We do not have a manager. Okay. So we are, we have a treasurer who does a lot adjacent to the financials. And then we have a secretary. And we have, I guess what you would think of as active members of council who take on a lot of operational roles. So what are you used to, and how would you make sure that things got communicated without the borough manager so that things don't fall through the cracks? How would you do that?
If we whatever administration staff and other staff you had in the office, if we were only there certain days a week, we can keep running lists of permit status and what's in, and things will be organized so that they can also go through folders, which I've done before with my staff, because the mm-hmm. LNI staff was in a different building. So if I was covering down in their office, I knew exactly where to go in the computer system and where the hard copies were, so that if I had to issue permits out and collect fees, I knew where to go. So mm-hmm. we could organize it so that way everybody's on the same page, and that even on a day that I'm not there, if somebody comes in to pay for a zoning permit, anyone in the office is going to be able to pull the permit out, see how much it is, and collect the fee.
Mm-hmm. In addition, I'd like to add that because of the active members of council, I think it's really important that the monthly reports that come from our office are detailed enough to give you guys enough information so you know what's going on, you know what's being submitted, you know what's being issued. I think that's a big aspect also of the program, is to make sure that you guys are informed as to what's happening with the department.
So yeah, Rich, you kind of answered my question, but just to add on to that, I don't think that we talked about paperless. That was something that Julia, she may have already brought up, but so do you work more electronically or paperlessly? Like, or I guess that is the same thing, or do
it,
you?
It depends on the community, honestly. If the community has a program that will allow us to do that, whether it's through MuniLogic or Munisabid or through Tracer or any other program. I'm not sure exactly what you guys are using currently, having been out of the community for a while.
We aren't using anything, Rich. We don't have our own program. So okay. It's something that your company would have to produce, have to recommend or prepare for us or make, you know, however, but we don't have anything at this point.
Okay. Right. Are you guys using Outlook to get messages to each other and reports and things of that nature?
We use share file.
Okay.
And email. Yeah.
I don't think it would be a problem in order to keep you guys informed as to what's going on. But again, whether you do it through paper or whether you do it through electronically, it depends on the community.
Right. No, I think that we were going towards electronically, but that was one of my things, was that we sometimes we don't get all the information until it's time to actually approve the invoices. So we're kind of a little behind the, I don't know, just in my opinion anyway, for the, you know, just my experience.
I think when we were there previously, we were real good with keeping Pat informed as to the hours we were there and what was getting approved and what wasn't. And I foresee him being able to reestablish that relationship so that, you know, there aren't a lot of questions in regard to that.
Okay, I know it's almost time, but so I definitely love the idea of office hours. I do think 20 sounds like a lot. So Bob, I'm glad you asked that question as far as if that's a minimum. And the only reason I'm saying that is I feel like, believe it or not, we have a lot going on in the borough, like a lot of construction. And I think that it's going to be real time sometimes. And the availability that Amanda would need on her cell phone. I love the office hours. I think that that is something that we absolutely need, but then we also need someone that will be available, on their cell as well at, you know, off hours.
Yeah, I don't think availability will be a problem, honestly. And again, I also don't think availability for the field inspection people will also be a problem, knowing that we're only next door in the other community. Right. So if need be, we can run over and take care of something. It shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, thank you.
Right, we've got about 3 minutes left. So I don't know if there's any more questions or if Julia, you had something you want to
ask. I was just going to ask the same thing. You know, does anybody have anything else they want to ask?
Okay. Actually, I could ask for one more thing, because I know, Amanda, you described this to us, but the rest of council hasn't heard this. Can you tell us a little bit about you're new to Keystone, and before that you were an assistant manager for a township, and tell us a little bit about that transition so everybody understands and you know, a little bit about your background. We don't have a CV, which if you have one, that would probably be helpful to send along too. Absolutely. But if that's something Rich wants to do. But can you just give a little bit of a 1 minute overview of that transition?
Sure. So I worked in municipal government, as I said earlier, for about 10 years. I have a master's in public policy. I've spent the last 4 years as the assistant township manager, helping from everything from land development to stormwater to RFPs and bids. So because I have been overseeing the L&I department, I helped update and rewrite parts of the Warminster Township zoning code. The transition to being a zoning officer with Rich, because I previously worked very closely with my zoning officer, Warminster, was basically a pretty smooth transition. The township Warminster chose to go a different direction with their management team, and so Rich was kind enough to pick me up in the process of that.
Great. And have you done that before? Been a zoning officer specifically?
No, I was not the zoning officer specifically.
No, but you have your master's in.
Yes, zoning. And I've done extensive work with our zoning officer, and I've spent a lot of time explaining the zoning code to residents, and including rewriting and updating the zoning code as well.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you.
I have a policy of always hiring people that are smarter than me.
Smart move.
I think that's about it. Now, Julia, do you have any final pieces?
No, I think I have all of my questions answered. If everyone else has heard all the information they need right now, then I think we will say thank you, Rich. Thank you, Amanda. And council will be, are you saying goodbye, Bob, or are you saying you have a question?
No, we're waving goodbye. So thank you. Thank you so much for joining.
Well, we want to thank you for your time. And sure. If you have any follow-up questions, feel free to email me, and we'll get answers as quickly as possible. I will send over both resume for Rich Wendling, myself, and Amanda within the next day or so.
Great. Thank you. Good. Terrific. So yeah, we will be, council will be considering and reconvening in the future, and we will certainly let you know any questions that anyone may have in a, you know, in the next couple of days, and send that over to you for follow-up. So that'd thank you great. So much.
Thank okay. you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Bye bye.
Have a good evening.
Okay. We want to be brief because we do have a gap where everybody can go, you know, have dinner and so on. But as we are an official meeting, there if there's any old business to be brought up at this meeting, this is an opportunity. Any new business? Public to be heard.
Thank you, Warren.
Oh yeah.
He'll say
I said Paul was here earlier, right. But I think Paul has
yeah, he left. Him. He left. Yeah.
So we have no more public other than Warren. So okay, I'll entertain a motion to be adjourned then.
So moved. I'll second, Julie.
All right. Motion second, all in favor.
Aye.
All right, assume no nays. All right. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you all. I'll stop recording.
See you soon.
And say goodbye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.